Normally, if we had such a long gap between the scripture reading and the sermon, we might forget some of what we had heard earlier. But fortunately, the 23rd Psalm is one of the most beloved and well-known pieces of scripture in the entire Bible. A lot of us could probably recite at least some of it from memory. And even people who don't have a Judeo-Christian background have some basic familiarity with these verses. We hear it read at funerals. We see reflections of it in literature, TV, movies, music. It is comforting. It's reassuring. It is something that a lot of people turn to in difficult times. These are verses that are very familiar to a lot of us. And so the challenge, when we're looking at something that is so familiar to us, is what more can you say about it? What more do you need to say about it? I mean, part of the reason this psalm is so beloved is because there's an extent to which we already get it. We understand it. So how can we set this psalm free from the shackles of our understanding and let God speak to us in a fresh, new way? I was reading a commentary about this psalm this week that said this. It said, one way to approach preaching Psalm 23 is not to preach it. Just read it slowly and then sit down. This will not secure points among the serious intellects in your congregation, but the middle school crowd will love you for it. I mean, I get what it's saying there, and you're not going to get off that easy, but I get what it's saying there, that this psalm, in a certain way, it speaks to us on its own. Right? The metaphor is clear. The imagery is accessible. We can easily find ourselves in this psalm. It doesn't require a lot of interpretation or leave us with a lot of questions. But the more I was working through this psalm this week, I found that it does leave us with one significant question. And that question is, really? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Really? So because you believe in God, you'll have everything that you want in life? You won't lack anything? Because if you look around the world, look around this community, you'll see people, faithful people, in need, lacking some of the basic essentials in life. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The idea being that God, the shepherd, provides the sheep with plenty to eat. Really? Because around 21,000 people in the world will die of starvation today. He leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. Really? Because over 700 million people around the world do not have access to clean water. They aren't being restored, they are dying. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Really? So because we believe in God, trust in God, nothing bad will ever happen to us. It's all goodness and mercy from here on out. No problems, no pain, no worries, no fear. Really? I was surprised to realize this week that in my 12 years as a pastor, I have preached on the 23rd Psalm only one other time. I mean, this most beloved, this most commonly known psalm, preached on it one time. Let me tell you about that time. It was January 22nd, 2006. I'd been a pastor in this small town for about 6 months, and the reason that I was preaching on this psalm that day is because 3 days earlier, a 55-year-old father and his 18-year-old son were found dead in their home from carbon monoxide poisoning. They just had some work done on the furnace, and the repairman didn't hook a vent back up properly. As their wife and mother was leaving for work that morning, she turned the heat on to take the chill off the house, and everything just pumped straight into the house, killing her husband and son while they slept. These were faithful Christians. The Lord was their shepherd. Where was their goodness and mercy? When we look at the world around us, the experience of our lives, we don't always see proof that the words of this psalm are true. Faithful people, innocent people, children, suffer and die while the wicked prosper. How can we trust that the Lord is our shepherd, that God watches over us and takes care of us and provides for our needs, when there are so many people for whom that imagery does not match their experience? They hear the words of this psalm and they are left wondering, really? The thing is, though, this psalm never promises that because the Lord is our shepherd, our lives will be easy and free from problems and pain. At one point, we find ourselves with the psalmist in the darkest valley, which most of us are familiar with being translated as the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death looms over this psalm. It is there. The psalmist doesn't get to avoid it because the Lord is his shepherd. He has to walk through it. And so do we. What we are reminded of, though, is that we do not have to walk through it alone. There is some thought that when this psalm refers to the valley of the shadow of death, it's referring to an actual place. That's not something that's been confirmed by biblical scholars, but it's a conversation that's been going on. In ancient Israel, when shepherds tended their sheep, they didn't have big, lush, green fields to let them feed in like we do. This was a rough, rocky, dry area where the grass grew in tufts, a little bit here, a little bit there. And so shepherds would constantly be on the move with their sheep looking for more grass. There were some areas that had a lot of grass and vegetation, but they were very hilly and rocky and rough, and so it wasn't easy or safe to keep your sheep there. What a lot of shepherds would do, they would take their sheep to the area around the city of Jericho, which was relatively flat and had springs and vegetation around it. To get from the city of Jerusalem to Jericho, it was about 10 miles, and it was, again, very hilly, rocky, rough terrain, but there was a valley that provided a kind of shortcut to get to this good grazing area out around Jericho. It's like a valley. It was almost more like a canyon. The valley, though, it could be dangerous. It was a dark valley, because it was enclosed on both sides by steep, rocky walls. So unless the sun was directly overhead, it would cast shadows down into the valley and make it dark. It was also a prime location for robbers who would attack the shepherds and predators that would attack the sheep. So you want to get your sheep to green pastures and still waters, but you have to go through this dark, dangerous valley to get there. The thinking is that that valley, which you can still go by and see today, that valley is what's being referred to as the valley of the shadow of death. So even though I have to walk through that dark, dangerous valley with robbers and predators, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Oftentimes, shepherds would carry a rod, like a stick or a club, that'd be used to fend off attackers or predators. The staff is what we are used to seeing as a shepherd's crook, a long stick with a curved hook at the end. Like we said, this valley, it was a rough, rocky place, and there were a lot of crags in the rocks, ditches that sheep could fall into as they were being herded through. The shepherds would use their staffs to reach down and pull them out. Right, hook the sheep around the neck or kind of under the arms and pull the sheep out. The shepherd might not be able to keep the sheep from falling, but he can pick them up when they do. This valley, then, it becomes a metaphor for all the dark, dangerous, rocky, rough places that we have to go in life. Living life with God is not about avoiding pain. Nowhere are we promised that that's going to be the case. It's not about living a perfect life where nothing ever goes wrong. And it doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to us. What it does mean is that when we do have to go to that valley, when bad things do happen, when things do go wrong and we experience pain, we will be able to face it because we know we don't have to face it alone. For you are with me. If you read this psalm in the original Hebrew, you would see that that line, "For you are with me," is the exact center of this psalm. There are 26 words before it, 26 words after it in Hebrew. It's like the whole thing centers on this promise. It is held together by this belief that you are with me. And that is actually where the psalm shifts. It starts off saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake." But at this point, it becomes, "You are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil." It shifts from speaking about God to speaking to God. And that shift only takes place when you go into the darkest valley, when everything else fails and you can't see the way. You can't see any way that any of this is going to work out. It is there that we learn to trust. Throughout this season of Lent, we've been looking at these steps that the Psalms show us to living life with God. We started a few weeks ago with awe. Standing in awe at the glory of God. Well, when we stand in awe of the glory of God, we realize that we are not God, and that leads us to confession, confessing our sin and our mistakes and our pain to God. And through that, we realize how much we depend on God. And if we depend on God, then we have to listen to God's voice and obey God. That leads us to our next step. Because the more we listen, the more we obey, the more we take that step in faith, when we have no evidence that things are going to work out, the more we do that, the more we learn to trust God. Trust is a process. Trust is built. You don't just magically trust God in every situation, but every situation can be an opportunity through which we learn to trust God. And we learn to trust by taking steps in that dark valley where the terrain is uncertain and unsteady and we cannot see the way. We learn to trust when we speak into the uncertainty of that darkness that is both within us and around us and say, "Really? The Lord is my shepherd. Really? Really? I shall not want. Really? Really? You are with me. Really? Really? This is going to work. Really? Really? It's going to be okay. Really? Really? How do you know?" "I don't know, but I trust." Help us to trust, Lord, where we cannot see, where we have no proof, that you are with us, shepherding us through even the darkest valley. And when we experience your shepherding love, may we turn to those around us, the other sheep all around us, and help guide them through our own experience of your presence. Lead us, Lord, so that we might lead. Shepherd us so that we might be shepherds. We pray in the name of the Good Shepherd, who continually brings us back to you, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.